Padivadakacharya, Astatara Satrashishiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem, Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhasham, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamunavayi Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Gopramanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya Naramchaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Sojayam Udiraya Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that's troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're continuing and finishing our reading on the first verse of the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. This is text number 33. The purport was divided into three parts. So we get the end of the purport today.
Aham eva samevagre.
Aham eva samevagre. Aham eva sam eva gre.
Aham eva sam eva gre.
Nanyad yat sad asat param.
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 Paschat aham yad et touch cha. Paschat aham yad etach cha. Yo vashisheta sosmyaham.
Yo vashisheta sosmyaham.
Aham evasam evagre. Nanyad yat sad asad param. Paschat aham yad etach cha. Yo vashisheta sosmyaham. Please chant.
Aham eva sam eva gre.
Nan yad yat sat asat param. Paschat aham yad etach cha. Yo vashisheta sosmyaham.
Aham eva sam eva gre.
Nan yad yat sat asat param. Paschat aham yad etach cha. Yo vashisheta sosmyaham.
Aham
eva sam eva gre.
Nan yad yat sat asat param.
Paschat aham yad etach cha.
Yo vashisheta sosmyaham.
One more.
Aham eva sham eva gre.
Nan yad yat sat asat param. Paschat aham yad etach chat. Yo vashisheta sosmyaham. The word for word, sorry. Aham.
I, the personality of Godhead.
Eva.
Certainly.
Asam. Existed.
I certainly existed. That's the point that Krishna's making.
Asam.
Oh, existed, sorry.
Eva.
Only.
Agre.
Before the creation.
Na.
Never.
Anyat.
Anything else.
Yat.
All those.
Sat.
The effect.
Asat.
The cause.
Param.
The supreme.
Paschat,
at the end.
Aham,
I, the personality of Godhead.
Yet,
all these.
Etat,
creation.
Cha,
also.
Yaha,
everything.
Avashisheta,
remains.
Saha,
that.
Asmi,
I am.
Aham,
I, the personality of Godhead.
Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport.
Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead.
Omaginati minandasya jananjana salakaya chaksur umiditam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm indebted to him eternally and therefore beg for service life after life. So this verse, it's so, the way Srila Prabhupada translated, and also we can also appreciate the word for word translation there, because it's, all the words are so very, 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 very clear. And yet still, there's so much misinterpretation and on the personality of Godhead, or what the absolute truth is. Here again, here's the translation again. Brahma, it is I, the person, somebody count the number of I's, okay? Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, that which remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So is that four I's or how many I's? Three? Three I's. And then there's a myself, so that's where I got the fourth one. So very, very clearly, the Lord is stating, I am a person. And he's stating it to another personality, Brahma, Brahma. I existed, Brahma, before the creation. And after the annihilation, I will exist. So there has been a purport that you've been listening to very nicely. But the whole point that Srila Prabhupada's making and hammering and often repeats is the misconception of understanding, thinking that in the end everything's impersonal. So clearly stated in the scriptures, and yet so misunderstood. So we're continuing from the purport, and hold on, I'm going to find it. Induces. I had it a second ago. Okay. The impersonalist adduces. Yeah, thank you. So just as your Bhagavatam class test, can you remember some of the points made in the previous two classes that were about this, were on this same topic? Any points that you can, that stuck out in your brains? I know you're not always the same people, but you are pretty much the same people, our little crew.
Krishna is a person.
Oh, brilliant. You got it. Krishna is a person. Anything else?
He's the boss.
He's the boss. So we'll continue with the purport. Thank you. Okay. Oh yeah, right, on the whole four verses together. Thank you. Sambandha, Prayojana, whatever, how do you say it? Sambandha, Prayojana, Nabideya. That's explaining. So, and another point to remember, which you're all familiar with, but these were the original four verses that the Lord spoke to Brahma, and then he told him, expand on these verses. So Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam starts with four verses. These four verses. That's where it started. That's the whole, it's the whole seed, the fundamental seed of this 18,000 slokas in the Bhagavatam started from this, these four verses, and this is the first of the four verses. And we can see that it's so rich in philosophy that the whole point of the Bhagavatam, the whole point of the Bhagavatam is to explain Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, the process of how to reach him, bhakti, and also the activities of the bhakta. Bhagavan, bhakti, and bhakta. That's the whole theme of the Bhagavatam, to explain those from this angle, from that angle, from this example, from that example, whatever. That bhakti is the supreme process of understanding the Lord. Bhakti is the supreme process. It's the easiest process. It's the most complete process. Bhagavan has his attributes, his personality, his form. He has his character and attributes. He has his own abode. And the bhakta can serve in this way and that way. And the Lord is always protecting his devotees. Always protect. Always the well-wisher of his devotees. Not in a partial way, but in a way that, in a reciprocal way, if one chooses not to turn his face towards the Lord, then the Lord, in an impartial way, allows that living entity to exist and act out his karmic activities and get the results of his karmic activities. But if one turns towards the Lord and tries to understand the Lord's position and the jiva's relationship with the Lord, then the Lord is always there to give protection, encouragement, enlightenment, and guidance on the path. Okay, so, Hare Krishna. The impersonalist adduces no activity to the Supreme, but in this discussion between Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is said to have activities also, as he has his form and qualities. So what were the activities mentioned in the verse of the Lord? Yeah, creation and annihilation, those are some of the activities. Not all of them, but he's there as a person. Okay, the activities of Brahma and other demigods during the maintenance of creation are to be understood as the activities of the Lord. So, second canto, Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, first verse. Sutta Goswami's giving 10 of the topics that are explained throughout the Bhagavatam, the 10 topics. Sarga, Sarga, Visarga. Yeah, so he's giving that the Lord is the fountainhead of everything, and there's the ingredients, and from those ingredients, Visarga, Lord Brahma, takes those ingredients that the Lord provides, and he manipulates those ingredients and makes the facility for the living entity to, and the living places for the living entities. So those are some of the creation. So it appears, if you come on the scene after the creation, which obviously we have, we look at it, we could say, oh, Brahma's the creator. So that's true, but it's not the ultimate truth. It's not the ultimate, because beyond Brahma, there was the Lord creating all the ingredients. Beyond Brahma was, as he said, the Lord says, before the creation I existed. Brahma took what the ingredients that the Lord had created, that the Lord manifested, and manipulated them and organized the material world and the different situations for the living entities. But that was a further question, an earlier question of Narada. Where do you get your power from? Narada was asking Brahma, where do you get your power from? Prahlad asked that question too, or he pointed that out when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where do you get your power from? How come you're not afraid of me? He said, well, I get my power from the same place you do. You just don't realize it. Minor detail there. Okay, anyway. The king or the head executive of a state may not be seen in the government offices, for he may be engaged in royal comforts. Yet it should be understood that everything is being done under his direction and everything is at his command. That's also a very simple explanation and a very vivid explanation how we can understand that Krishna, because when we say Krishna is everywhere, at first you don't see that unless you have your eyes trained with shastric evidence. You know, you don't see the ultimate cause. I think it's the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, when all the different residents of the planets are offering prayers to the Lord. In that section, there's a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj where he states that when you try to find the source of creation, it's very difficult, and he gives the example of planting a seed. You plant a seed, and that seed is there germinating and sprouting for some time under the earth, not seen to the normal vision, but it's there, it's sprouting. And then the plant grows, say it's a tree, and the tree grows very luxuriantly, you know, 40 feet high. Now, if you, at that stage, when the tree is already 40 feet high, if you try to find the source of that tree by digging down to the roots, you're only finding the roots, but you're not finding the seed. So we have that experience of not being able to find the exact cause by material means all the time, but there's a cause. So the Lord is that seed of creation. He's the giver of the seed. Another example that's given is the farmer. The farmer cultivates the land, he weeds, he fertilizes, he does this, he irrigates, he so many things, and he reaps the, and he does everything to produce the crop, but he doesn't produce the seeds. The seeds are there, given by the Lord. Okay. The personality of Godhead is never formless. In the material world, he may not be visible in his personal form to the less intelligent class of men, and therefore he may be sometimes called formless. But actually, he is always in his eternal form in his Vaikuntha planets, as well as in other planets of the universes as different incarnations. This is a point that the Lord has his personality, he has his abode, and he has his activities. That's even made in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, the very Janmad Yasyadya Tayo verse. There's 7 points made in that verse that he's the primeval cause. He's the primeval cause, and he's the maintainer of all of those causes. He's directly and indirectly conscious of all his creation. He's Svarat, he's independent. He's not dependent on any other thing. He's the enlightener. He enlightened Brahma within his heart by giving him that encouragement to do tapasya. But he also has the potency. He's the bewilderer. He can bewilder all of us very easily. Myself, by his energies, because we think I'm here, I'm the center of the universe. Or the example in the very first verse is that just like you get illusioned when you, like we can experience here in Florida quite often, when you're driving down the hot asphalt on the road and it looks like ahead, there looks like a puddle ahead and steam coming up, but when you get up to that point, there's no water. So we get illusioned by seeing water on land or land on water on different things when you're in the desert and you're about to die practically from thirst. You see a mirage in the desert. So Krishna is the source of all that illusion. So he's the enlightener, he's the bewilderer, and he's the factual basis. But now, the 7th point in that very first verse of the Bhagavatam is that he has his eternal abode. He's totally separate. And that'll be explained a little bit more further along in this purport, that he has his own abode. The material universe is his only occupation and his only meditation, that he's meditating on the material world, which is often presented in different religious philosophies that the Lord's main duty is to judge people and give them the results of their good and bad activities, and that's his life, kind of. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the very preface, I guess it is, it's a preface of the Bhagavatam, when he says there's a great difference between the concept of God and the concept of the absolute truth. The understanding is so vast, more expanded in that when we talk about the absolute truth and all of his facets of activities. So that's what Prabhupada was making, the point was there, that he has his own abode, he has his own activities. The example of the sun is very appropriate in this connection. The sun might not be visible to the eyes of men in darkness, but the sun is visible wherever it has risen. The sun is not visible to the eyes of the inhabitants of a particular planet of Earth. The sun is not visible to the eyes of the inhabitants of a particular part of the Earth does not mean that the sun has no form. So I just recently flew back from New York to here, and the whole week that I was in New York, it was totally cloudy. It seemed to me, because actually I was in a building that didn't seem to have any windows anyway, but anyway, aside from that small point, it was very cloudy. But as soon as we got on the plane and pass through the clouds, and you could see the bright sun, the sky blue, and everything was just wonderful. So here's the same thing. In the clouds are never, they never have enough potency to totally block the sun, but they can block the sun and the form of the sun to a few individuals in a selected area for some time. But because it's daylight, even like today, here's another example. It's bright out, but there's no sun. But we know it exists, and we know that the sun has risen because of the light is there. So similarly, a devotee becomes so confident, assured, knowledgeable about the Lord's presence, that even though we personally, in our stage of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we can't see Krishna personally present, we can see him through his energies present. We can see him through his energies, and that is more or less equal to seeing him, because we're conscious of him, or we're trying to become conscious. So the next few paragraphs are Prabhupada's giving many Vedic quotes to support his statement. Vedic examples. Okay, excuse me. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1:4:1, there is the hymn, Atma Vedham Agra Asit Purusha Vita. This mantra indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead even before the appearance of the Purusha incarnation. So who's the Purusha incarnation? The three Purushas, Karana Dakshai Vishnu, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and Shira Dakshai Vishnu. They all have their function, and they all are the personality of Godhead, but they have a certain function that they take on for the purpose of creation. Okay, going back. This mantra indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, even before the appearance of the Purusha incarnation. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:18, it is said that that Lord Krishna is Purushottama because he is the Supreme Purusha, transcendental even to the Purusha Akshara, and the Purusha Kshara. So now here's an explanation of what Akshara Purusha. The Akshara Purusha, or the Mahavishnu, throws his glance over the Prakriti, or material nature. But the Purushottam existed even before that. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad therefore confirms the statement of the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord Krishna is the Supreme Person, Purushottama. In some of the Vedas, it is also said that in the beginning, only the impersonal Brahman existed. So it's also important to remember that that impersonal Brahman conception is a bona fide process of realization, but it's not the complete realization. It's not the complete end, but it's a step on the path. Prabhupada continues, however, according to this verse, the impersonal Brahman, which is the glowing effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord, may be called the immediate cause, but the cause of that cause, or the cause of all causes, or the remote cause, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, we could say that the Lord is so powerful that he can make a cause of something and be separate from that cause. He's so powerful that this creation seems like it comes from Karana Dakshai Vishnu, because he's lying down on the causal ocean and the universes are coming from his body. So you could say he's the source. But beyond that is the source, is Krishna. Okay. The Lord's impersonal feature is existent in the material world, because by material senses or material eyes, the Lord cannot be seen or perceived. In the 31st verse, so we're on text 33, in the 31st verse, I think I remember, it's the 31st verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the mystery of understanding the Lord. What is that mystery to the understanding of the Lord? And, oh yeah, thank you, Krishna. It is in the 31st verse. Okay, here. Rahasya means devotional service. The Lord instructed Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita because he found Arjuna to be a devotee and friend. Without such qualifications, one cannot enter into the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one cannot understand the personality of Godhead unless one becomes a devotee and discharges devotional service. This mystery is love of Godhead. So, today's verse, today's purport, the part that I just read, was that the living entity can't see the personality of Godhead with material eyes and senses. So he's not visible to him. Why? Because he doesn't have the qualification of love of God. When the qualification of loving Krishna is there, then you can see, oh, this tree is a manifestation of Krishna's energy, etc., etc., etc. Krishna's providing the air, he's providing the light. You can see the Lord there. But without the eyes tinged with the salve of love, one can't see those things. So therefore, Prabhupada says, the Lord's impersonal feature is existent in the material world because by material senses or material eyes, the Lord cannot be seen or perceived. One has to spiritualize the senses before one can expect to see or perceive the Lord. So that process of spiritualizing the senses begins with hearing. When one starts to hear about the Lord and the glories of the Lord, then one can remember, then one can see things through the eyes of Shastra Chakshus, through the eyes of the scriptures, and see him present in all his activities. Continuing, but he is always engaged in his personal capacity, and he is eternally visible to the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka, eye to eye, to his own spiritual abode, which is beyond the limitations of the material world. Continuing, therefore he is materially impersonal, just as the executive head or state may be impersonal in the government offices, although he is not impersonal in the government house. Similarly, the Lord is not impersonal in his abode, which is always nirastakuakam. That's from the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Nirastakuakam satyam param dhimahi. As stated in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, both the impersonal and personal features of the Lord are acceptable, as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. They're acceptable, but also to the discerning eye, they're stages. And Prabhupada also gives the example of if one is trying to go up in a skyscraper building, let's say it's 80 stories high, and you're up on the 10th, you're on the 10th floor, and somehow or other you're walking up the stairs. The lights must be out, no electricity, so you're walking up the stairs. So you're on the 10th floor, you've made progress. But if you think that the 10th floor is all in all, then it's okay. But you don't get the view from the top or whatever you would get from going further on. So Brahman, understanding that the Lord's energy, impersonal energy, is everywhere and pervades everything, and that I am also made of that same energy or come from it, that's great. That's progress. But it's not the ultimate progress. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. This personality of God, it is very emphatically explained in the Bhagavad Gita in connection with the verse of Brahmanohi Pratisthanam 14:27. Therefore, in all ways, the confidential part of spiritual knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead and not his impersonal Brahman feature. You can remember some lectures of Srila Prabhupada where he would make that point. God is a person. Sometimes he would put his hand on the desk. God is a person. He's a person. He's a person. And why is he stressing that so much? Because the level of realization, of understanding the personal form of the Lord and the exchange of service between the jiva and the Lord, that level of understanding is so much more complete, so much higher, and the bliss, the happiness that the living entity encounters by acting on that platform is so much greater than the bliss. There is bliss in Brahman, but it's a bliss of relief from suffering, which is great. A lot of us would like that, relief from suffering. But more than relief from suffering is the bliss of service to the Lord. And that is what Lord Chaitanya explained, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It's an ocean, but it's an unlimited ocean, an ever-expanding and ever-increasing ocean of happiness. So someone who experiences perhaps some happiness of relief from distress, of Brahman realization and peacefulness and shanti, etc., etc., that's good, but comparatively speaking, what they're missing out is vast. Just as if one was deserves to inherit their parents, wealthy parents leave their body, and according to the estate of the parents, he should inherit $40 million. But because there's some conniving going on between the family members or some cheating going on, the person only gets, you know, $20. It's cheating. He's lost out on what he deserves. So someone who's interested in impersonal realization is cheated of the real unlimited bliss that awaits every living entity. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, emphasize it so much, you know. One should therefore have his ultimate aim of realization, not the impersonal feature, but the personal feature of the Absolute. The example of the sky within the pot and the sky outside the pot may be helpful to the student for his realization of the all-pervading quality of cosmic consciousness of the Absolute. But that does not mean that the individual part and parcel of the Lord becomes the Supreme by a false claim. It means only that the conditioned soul is a victim of the illusory energy in her last snare. And we're all familiar with that phrase, the last snare of Maya. In other words, the living entity has made progress. A living entity has made progress in the pursuit of transcendental realization, but somehow or other, instead of going to the final step, they identify themselves. And that's the difficulty in the Paramatma realization when, let's say, the Lord is revealed within their heart. They think that's who I am. I'm that Lord. They made progress, but they got the last snare. And when that happens, when they get entangled in that last snare of Maya, then again, it's a long time to become untangled. To claim to be one with the cosmic consciousness of the Lord is the last trap set by the illusory energy, or Daivi Maya. And that just reminds me of how fortunate we are for in general, and specifically, that we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada this information right from the very beginning of our pursuit of spiritual consciousness. You know, how many times have we heard that, you know? That don't be diverted by lesser levels of realization, but go to the realization of, try to understand the Supreme Lord. Even the impersonal existence of the Lord as it is in the material creation, even one should aspire for personal realization of the Lord, and that is the meaning of Pats. Chat aham yat etach chayo vishasheta so smyaham. There's a couple more paragraphs. One more paragraph. Brahmaji also accepted the same truth when he was instructing Narada. He said, So yam te vihitas tata bhagavan vishvabhavana. That's in the second canto, 7th chapter, 50th verse. There is no other cause of all causes than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Therefore, this verse, aham eva, never indicates anything other than the Supreme Lord, and one should therefore follow the path of Brahma Sampradaya, or the path from Brahmaji to Narada, to Vyasa, etc., and make it a point in life to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, or Lord Krishna. This very confidential instruction to the pure devotees of the Lord was also given to Arjuna and to Brahma in the beginning of creation. The demigods like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar, Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are undoubtedly different forms of the Lord for execution of different functions. The different elemental ingredients of material creation, as well as multifarious energies, also may be of the same personality of Godhead. So in other words, I'm going to read that again. The demigods like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar, Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are undoubtedly different forms of the Lord for execution of the different functions. So these demigods are empowered by the Lord, and they're to be understood to be the Lord's representatives in the process of creation, and they have different functions, some providing organization, some providing the elements by which we can survive here in this material world, or seemingly that they're providing it, but it all comes from Krishna. Similarly, I just wanted to make this point from the couple sentences before, when it talks about how this path came from the Lord to Brahma, and from Brahma to Narada and Vyasa, etc. So similarly, those representatives of the parampara are also speaking on behalf of the Lord, and are therefore to be considered the energy of the Lord himself, and therefore that's what makes the parampara so spiritually potent, because it's the same message the Lord has given, empowered, enlightened the different people along the way, and he's giving the same message. Last sentence. One should be attached to the root of everything, rather than bewildered by the branches and leaves. This is the instruction given in this verse. So what was that? What verse in the Bhagavad Gita does that sentence, the previous sentence, bring to mind? One should be attached to the root of everything rather than bewildered by the branches and leaves. 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita talks about the banyan tree with its roots up, you know, the reflection of the reality. So instead of being attached to the reflection of reality, where the roots are going up and the branches are going down, and trying to be the little bird that flies from branch to branch, tasting the various fruits of the trees, and going from leaf to leaf and branch to branch. One should be attached to the reality. We're attached to the reflection. Reflection is just giving us an indication that there is a reality beyond this reflected universe, the material world. And one should be trained here, serve that higher reality through the process of hearing from bona fide sources. Hare Krishna. Comments, questions for Gatmika Prabhu and others? So, we talked about her at Mongols.
It struck me, like you were saying, how these four nutshell verses, well, this first one particularly is stressing Krishna as the cause of all causes, and how that is manifested throughout the Bhagavatam. And I thought one striking example is when Parikshit Maharaj is encountering the bull, or Kali, and the bull, and the conclusion is that one who points the finger at the perpetrator is as much at fault as the perpetrator himself for committing the crime.
Yeah. Why?
Because he's not recognizing the ultimate cause.
Which
is Krishna. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing, huh?
And then the other example you gave, of course, of when Prahlad told his father, the same power you're getting, the source is the same. We're getting our power from the same source. And then I thought of the first nutshell verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, which is, I'm the source of everything, and for me the entire creation flows. But do all those four verses also touch on Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana? I didn't.
I'm brain dead right now.
Is that no? I just.
I think so. I don't. You know, it's not okay. Like right there. Sorry.
Thank you.
Just
thank
honest
you.
Reply, right? I could fluff it, but. Yeah, they're connected, but she's asking about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. One would. Roddy Cage, Prabhu, you have another?
I think it does, because it okay. Tells that they're. What the devotees do, and. Anyway.
You know, just like we hear when we come to Krishna consciousness, you know, we're not this body. I think, along with that, we've been hearing that Krishna is a person. And so, yeah, I accept him as a person. He's a person. He has got spiritual world. He's got associates. I accept all that. But certainly, it's not realized just like the body. I'm not this body. I know that I'm not realized. My question is that how does that manifest in our life, the fact that we're not realizing that Krishna is a person? Mm-hmm. In other words, like I like to see, oh, okay, Madhumati, this is it. You know, you're not seeing Krishna as a person. And how does it obstruct my not understanding that to approach or to have love of God?
Well, if I'm understanding your question correctly, it's gradual realization. It's a gradual removal of the curtain of illusory energy. So we hear that Krishna is a person, and basically, yes, we can accept it. We accept all those examples. But the application is, like you could say, we're a little short on applying it, on realizing it. And how does that come? It just comes when Krishna's pleased. This transcendental note, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavuye. The Lord revealed himself to Brahma after what? 1,000 years, celestial years of his meditation. So during that time, he was getting some taste and some realization, and it was increasing and increasing. So how is it realized? By our steady attempt at following the process of sadhana, and gradually, just because, like, even now you can see that from the very first time that we heard we're not our bodies to our where we are now a few years later, our understanding is a little bit expanded. It has expanded. It's a little deeper, and it's got a lot more to go. So it'll come gradually by continuing on with the process. And when Krishna is pleased, he will reveal it fully. Is that what you're asking?
No, well, thank you. I appreciate what you expressed.
But it's not the question I'm asking.
No,
yes.
The question is, just like I'm not this body, and I know I haven't realized it because I'm attached to I, me, and mine. I see that. I can see the results of being attached by... I see the results by the fact that I'm not this, I haven't realized I'm this body because I see the I, me, and mine, the attachment towards all that. So I realize I'm not this body. It gets manifested. How does me not seeing Krishna as a person manifest?
Oh.
That's my question. How does it show
practically
up?
Practically speaking, let's say a person is cooking the offering. This is what Daksha said. I'm not criticizing, but Lord Shiva, I'm not criticizing, but say someone's cooking an offering and they put the preps on the plate and they're all smooshy and the khichdi's dripping off the edge of the bowl and you didn't notice, and you hear, here Lord, here's your offering. I'm just saying, one little example. Or another thing is, you know, you do something and you don't do it fully or whatever. Does anyone else want to answer that question or help me with an answer to that question? It manifests often, even when we're chanting, hold on, yeah, even when we're chanting in our japa, it, you know, yes, Krishna, I accept that you're a person, and then I think of a fly on the wall, you know, and I'm more attracted to the fly, you know, I'm paying more attention to the fly on the wall than the words that I'm saying that are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're very easily distracted. We've got Mika Prabhu? And then we will move the microphone back on this side.
I was thinking one way, just you, every time you speak, oftentimes you'll be reminded of something and you immediately say, thank you, Krishna. So it's like you're seeing Krishna at all times, or even when your fingers were cut off. I'm sure, you know, shortly after that, you might have said, thank you, Krishna, whatever, you know. But it's like seeing Krishna.
Yeah.
And the opposite would be, you know, I don't know, you know.
Why did this happen? I didn't deserve it.
Yes, something, yeah. Anything.
Oh, whatever.
Like yeah.
Thanks. Trivikram Prabhu. And all of that comes from hearing. You know, we hear. We have to think about it and try to assimilate it and apply it. Trivikram Prabhu.
Adibol. So we're talking about creation also. There's a current theory that that's been accepted, especially in the scientific circle, that everything came from the Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, sometimes I be listening on the internet and so forth, and you'd be amazed to hear what these people are saying. And the way they present it, like the whole world from caught up in it, oh yes, this is how it all happened, you know. And it's really, it's actually confusing to the people who are believers, you know, because if they're not strong and faithful, they also get carried away by it. I don't know if you know anything about it or you have any input.
The only comment that I'd have to make is, I tried to listen to yesterday's class. I've been out of town, and I tried to listen to yesterday's class, but because there was internet problems, I couldn't hear yesterday's class. But I heard Pancharatna, no, Panchar, what's his name, Dr. Banks? Parcharna. Parcharna. I just call him Dr. Banks because I can get that out. I heard his class on Wednesday, and he made a very good point about the Big Bang Theory. Did you hear that also, Trivikram Prabhu? It was very interesting because he, you know, he has a scientific background and an understanding way more elevated than mine. But anyway, he was saying, if I can repeat it properly, but particularly about the Big Bang, he said, we accept the Big Bang Theory. And immediately I thought, what do you mean we accept the Big Bang Theory? But then he said, because everything happened when Mahavishnu had the universal pores emanated from his body. And they, meaning the scientists, consider that there was a Big Bang and then there was a creation. And you could see, pop, the little universe came out, and you could see, I got a correlation between that and how. I don't have to be so offended by that terminology, but to see how they're seeing a part of the creation process and they're labeling it because of their scientific imperfect senses and imperfect knowledge, they're labeling it as a Big Bang, but we could see that, you know, so
yeah.
that's all I can say about the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that's interesting. We see it as coming from Mahavishnu, and they see it as coming from an explosion.
Yeah, because
so there's some similarity.
Yeah, so I very much appreciated that point that he was making, among a few others. Thank you.
Actually, that kind of says about a person.
Yeah.
They took out the person.
Yeah.
They said there's a person, but they said sorry.
Yeah, because you can imagine how much the distance between, you know, coming out of his pore, so it might be an inch or two away from his body, let's just say, figuratively speaking. But in reality, it's 400 quadrillion yojanas away. So they're just seeing the little, anyway, that's a total speculation. I'm stopping here. Hare Krishna. No one's ever fully satisfied.